The New South Wales government has defended its decision to introduce special protections for brumbies as concerns grow about environmental damage in national parks. Scientists say the bulk of the wild horses in the Kosciuszko National Park need to be culled to protect the area's fragile alpine environment. But yesterday on Breakfast, New South Wales Deputy Premier John Barilaro said the brumbies have a cultural connection to the area and will be saved.
They've been part of that landscape for almost 200 years, part of folklore, the heritage, the culture of our nation, showcased at the opening of, the Olympic Games, and at the same time, a connection to the whalers that went overseas for the war effort of this nation. So what we're doing is enshrining in law that cultural and heritage connection to the park, a balancing game, but at the same time, we're not taking away the need to protect some of the most sensitive areas of the park.
That's New South Wales Deputy Premier and Nationals leader John Barilaro. One of the scientists lobbying the government to reduce the number of brumbies is Professor Don Driscoll. He's the director of Deakin University's Centre for Integrative Ecology in Victoria. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, Hamish.
The statistics I was working off in that interview with John Barilaro yesterday were that there's around 6,000 of these wild brumbies. That figure has been increasing steadily in recent years. He disputed those numbers. He described them as guesstimates.
Yeah, look, the pro-brumby lobby have been using uncertainty in the horse count, like climate change deniers use anomalies in the climate record. It's just a blatant distraction. The precise number of horses doesn't actually matter. What really matters is the impacts that those horses have. And from the research that's been done across the Australian Alps, it's clear that the impacts are high, they're unacceptable, and they shouldn't be going on in a national park.
As John Barilaro pointed out, though, horses are not the only introduced species that can cause havoc in the national parks. There's concerns about wild dogs, deer, rabbits as well. Is there clear evidence that it's the brumbies doing this damage?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt that brumbies are causing the bulk of the damage. For example, in the review of the 2008 Kosciuszko Horse Management Plan, they reported that 76% of stream banks were degraded in areas where there were horses, but only 11% were degraded in areas without horses. And there's a suite of other research showing that in areas where you have high horse densities, you have more impacts than in areas where you have low horse densities or no horses.
Is it your view that the New South Wales government is rejecting the science on this?
Well, the New South Wales government haven't rejected it yet. It's legislation that'll be put forward. If the parliament accept the legislation, then it's a real slap in the face for New South Wales voters, because their premier national park is going to be degraded over the coming decades.
But I mean, you've heard what the minister has said on this issue and about the science.
Well, I think the minister acknowledged that there are environmental impacts in the park, what he tried to say was that the impacts were more severe in some areas, and that we could put all these horses in other parts of the national park. In fact, research from Victoria has shown recently that the whole suite of ecosystems are impacted by horses. So it's not just the alpine bogs and the stream communities. It's also rainforest, wet forest, dry forest, and woodlands. So there's really no safe place to put these horses inside the national park where they won't have an impact.
John Barilaro referred to the long-standing experience of brumbies living in the wild in New South Wales for almost 200 years. He says they've become a cultural icon in that time, that there is this heritage status. Do you acknowledge that?
Oh, absolutely. There is heritage value to brumbies, but that doesn't mean we need to have 6,000 or probably more by now feral horses running around in our premier national park. What in fact we should be doing is looking at other ways to celebrate brumby culture, and people are doing this already. So in Victoria, we've got signs near mountain huts which explain the story of the early settlers who came along and built those huts and what they used them for. And of course, we've got lots of other cultural references. So we do have horse things at the opening of the Olympics.
But the specific matter at hand, though, is the idea of aerial culling. Back in 2000, there was the New South Wales government banned aerial culls after an outcry over the killing of 600 horses at the Guy Fawkes River National Park. The argument is that if you do this sort of thing, it'll inevitably leave horses dying slowly in remote areas. Do you accept that?
Well, look, there was an independent report after the Guy Fawkes horse cull, and they found that the shooting was humane and appropriate. In fact, you know, they shot 606 horses. They found evidence that four took several days to die, which is obviously not what we're aiming for. But that's over a 99% success rate, which is good, a great ethical outcome from any animal welfare perspective. So the Guy Fawkes National Park cull was actually highly successful, and it's just that there were images of dead horses put on the TV that the pro Brumby lobby have been able to exploit that.
I mean, Australians clearly have sympathy for animals that are dying slowly and in gruesome ways. I mean, it's not necessarily a lobby's work that people react to that.
Yeah, so what people have got to think about is not just the horses that die in the cull. They need to think about the horse welfare that have been for animals left on the mountain. It's not, you know, it's not all running across open fields with your mane streaming behind you. There's horses suffer miserably up on the mountains. They die from starvation, thirst. They get trapped above the snow line. So it's a horses suffer a lot out in the wild, but it's not just the horses. It's the unseen suffering of the native species that's of bigger concern. So there's a whole suite of threatened species that are losing their habitat, and they must suffer enormously as their nests and houses are destroyed, and then they have to they're exposed to predation and other ways of dying.
There are other options being put forward for dealing with this matter in Australia's high country. Here's the New South Wales Deputy Premier.
We should be looking at all the options in front of us, including removing, including rehoming, and using fertility control in managing numbers going forward.
That fertility control question, why is that not a better solution to all of this?
Well, it's just not feasible to implement at the scale that's needed at the moment. So with over 6,000 horses in this national park, it's just not possible to capture and inject enough horses to have an impact. You have to fertility control lasts for maybe a year or 2 years, so you have to re-catch horses throughout their life to implement this. It would work if the horse population was a couple of hundred, but with multiple thousands, it's just not viable.
Don Driscoll, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Hamish.
Professor Don Driscoll, Director of Deakin University's Centre for Integrative Ecology.